Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. And it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, then the best question wins the KSN sweatshirt. If you want to submit a question for Ross, really easy. Just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button, and there you go. All right, Ross, you all ready to answer questions?
Yes.
All right, let's start with Brian from Hartwell, Georgia, who says, what are your thoughts on Noah Kane leaving the program? Do you believe it's more related to two new freshmen coming in or lack of confidence that the offensive line will be any better next year?
Yeah, I think he just, things were not going the way he had envisioned. I think things were going sort of the wrong way for him. You know, it's hard to know how much of that was because of the injury, but I think he felt like he needed a new start. You know, maybe he had some honest conversations with Penn State. Maybe he could tell he's behind Kayvon Lee, and Penn State's got the Gatorade Player of the Year from Pennsylvania. I think he was U.S. Army Player of the Year in Nick Singleton. I mean, he's kind of racked up the Player of the Year awards coming in, and he's from PA. I just think Noah Kane thought there was a chance he could get passed up. And really, he just wasn't really having a whole lot of success at Penn State anymore.
Were you surprised that he went to a program the level of LSU? I don't think we're surprised. He's originally from Louisiana, so I don't think we're surprised geographically him going down there. But I don't know what their running back room looks like, but were you surprised that he went to a place where there's probably no guarantee of playing time there either?
I don't know enough about LSU's running back room or depth to really, you know, feel strongly about how I feel about him going there. But most kids, Jim, don't think in terms of go to a lower level, better chance to be guaranteed playing time. They look at Justin Fields or Joe Burrow or Kyler Murray or whoever, or Kenneth Walker, and they think, I just need to go to another place at this level. The issue's not me and the level of play. It's I just need to go to a different school and a fresh start. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think Noah might be staying at Penn State this spring to graduate.
It's funny you say that, Ross, because it was, I think, last week or the week before, you said how players, they don't announce that they're entering the portal until the semester begins, so that he has his scholarship for that semester. And yes, that appears to be exactly what Noah Kane did. The semester started at Penn State, and my understanding is he plans to stay at Penn State through the spring semester and graduate.
So I'm glad he's graduating. I think that's cool because you don't really need to anymore, right? You get the one freebie transfer, so he doesn't need to do the grad transfer thing. Is there a difference, Jim, between being a grad transfer and... So you get the freebie transfer... We don't have to sit out. And you also don't have to sit out as a grad transfer. So you could get the freebie thing one of your first few years and transfer, and then you could do a grad transfer later. So there's not really a lot of value in him staying to get his degree other than the fact that he wants to get his degree, which I think is pretty cool. But I don't know where that leaves him or how that helps him to get playing time at LSU.
It probably doesn't, obviously. I think when you're transferring, if it's just about football, you would like to be there for spring practice. But, you know, give credit to the kid that he is concerned about the academic side, wants to get his degree, and this is the way the system is designed, so he's doing what is in his best interest. Hard to blame him for that. So we'll see how it turns out for him at LSU. My concern for him going there is, even if things look promising for him to get playing time, you don't know who else they might bring in the transfer portal. You don't know who the recruits are coming in for next year. It just, like I said, LSU, their level of play, when you're going to one of the upper echelon teams in the Southeast Conference, I don't think there's any guarantee of playing time. Let's move on to our next question. Steve in Chicago says, "Hey, Ross, should there be two Heisman trophies each year? One for offensive player, one for defensive player. Based on seeing the great defensive talent in the college football playoffs, to me it seems like this year and in previous years, the defense gets shorted of the opportunity to win the Heisman. Keep up the great show."
Yeah. No. I mean, I understand the thought process, but that's why they have what, Jim? The Butkus Award, the Nagurski, Bednarik. Like, which one goes to the best defensive player? There's one of them's like the best defensive player.
There's so many of them out there now, Ross, that, you know, I think it's also, if you're going to say offense, defense, the Heisman is so much quarterback and maybe occasionally a running back. What about, you don't even see many wide receivers. Hey, Ross, how about an offensive lineman winning a Heisman?
Well, that's what I was going to say. If we're going to go there, why not, like, why can't offensive linemen be part of it? And the answer is, they win what, the Outland Trophy? You know, the individual can win the Outland Trophy. And then as a unit, they win the Joe Moore Award. So, totally understand the thought process. But A, it would never happen. And B, they have other awards that acknowledge the best defensive player.
They do. And let's also face it, Ross, as much as it's really nice to win a Heisman, I'd rather win the I'm the number one player picked in the NFL draft award. The money's a little bit better that way.
Yeah, really. Good point.
All right, let's go to our buddy Mike in Colorado. He says, "Hey, Ross, so everyone talks about how to build a team to break into the top echelon. My thoughts are that James Franklin is trying to do it with speed and a specific type of player. This seems to leave them open to teams that could grind it out, like, say, Michigan or Wisconsin. How can they be ready for the big game and be able to win the ones in between? Great teams should be able to beat any team regardless." It sounds like he's trying to say they are susceptible against very physical teams like a Michigan or a Wisconsin.
I understand what he's saying, and I do think that they are built more for speed. But I think if you look at the best teams, you know, nobody out there is saying, "I wish we had less speed." Everybody's trying to get as fast as possible. You look at those guys for Georgia flying around Alabama, the speed that they had was really, really impressive. And I don't know that I agree that I don't think how susceptible really are they to Michigan and Wisconsin? I didn't think that they got, I mean, they got beat up a little bit by Illinois, I would say almost more than Wisconsin and Michigan, where I felt like they actually did pretty well in those games.
In fairness to Mike, I edited his question a little bit. He did mention Illinois also. In general, though, Alabama, Georgia, you see the speed at receivers, defensive back, linebackers, but is the issue more the size and physicality on the two sides of the line, on offensive line? And you often have talked to us about this, Ross. There aren't many great defensive tackles in the country, and that's one of the places that separates the Alabamas and Georgias from everybody else.
No question. If you watched Georgia and their D tackles, they're just different. I mean, really, they were awesome all the way around. Their linebackers could really run. their DNs were good, but their D tackles, big Jordan Davis and number 88, I mean, those guys were the biggest difference makers. And I often say, other than like a quarterback, I feel like D tackles are the most dominant and important players in college football.
And my goodness, Ross, watching the college football championship game when they just had the captains walk out and you got that close-up view, a couple of the defensive linemen were the captains. Oh, my goodness, were they big. Let's go to Kent in Raleigh, North Carolina. It says, hey, guys, I really like your perspective. Jim is the fan and Ross is the player analyst. I guess that's a case of each to our skills, Ross. But anyway, so as a fan and season ticket holder, Ross, help me here. Pretend you are the coach. What changes are you going to make after finishing so poorly in the Big Ten? Thank you, guys. Signed, a frustrated, loyal Penn State fan. Okay, Ross, what could the coaches do about things?
Man, it's a good question. I would like to see them. One thing that I know, I feel like I'd like to see them get more out of the tight end position. You know, when Penn State's been good, think about Gesicki, think about Freiermuth. That position's really been a weapon for them. And I think it opens things up in the middle of the field, opens things up play action. So I guess that's one that stands out to me, is I'd like to see them get better at tight end, or at least utilize guys like Theo Johnson and Brenton Strange more. So that's one thing that jumps out to me. It's hard to have success, sustained success, if they don't run the ball better than they have. And that hadn't really been that much of an issue, and they actually ran it pretty well. Clifford's sophomore year, not as well the year after, and then this year was the worst. They're like going the wrong way when it comes to running the football. And that is concerning to me and something that they need to fix. I do think the running back position is part of that and can solve things if they get a decent, if they get a special player at that position. And let's hope that's what they got. I mean, there's a lot of hype, and I'm hopeful. And I really like Nick Singleton as a kid. You know, I've met him now a couple times. But, man, there's also a lot of pressure on him to come in as a true freshman and be a star right away. It makes me a little bit nervous for him, too.
That is a tough position to be in as a true freshman. But, as you said before, away from the ball, running backs, wide receivers, those are the type of positions where someone could come in and contribute right away. So hopefully that's the case with Singleton at running back. All right, Ross, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around, and quarter number four, we'll announce our winner. Stay tuned.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.